Welcome back to another episode of the Jewish Moves Podcast. This week's episode is with Dr. Jonathan Doneff. He's a founder and head of Daily Giving. Dr. Doneff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to come on. I'm curious, so what exactly is Daily Giving?
Okay, well, Daily Giving is a platform we started about 4 years ago. I had this idea that no matter how much money I give to the tzedakah, I still get a mitzvah every time I put a dollar in the tzedakah box. So I remember as a kid, you know, my parents giving me a penny or a nickel or a dime to bring to school every day. And I thought, you know, what happened to that? Why don't we still give every single day? And so I remember, you know, I left Marv that night and I went home and I was like so excited. I started Googling, is there any organization trying to automate daily tzedakah giving? And I could not find one, no matter how much I looked. And so I called my website guy and I said, Shaul, what do you think this idea is? Like, I love it. I said, can you build me a website? He said, absolutely. So we started meeting a couple of my friends and we started a nonprofit called Daily Giving. And the idea is to try to get all Jews around the world to give $1 a day together, every single day together. That's the key. And every day we give the entire amount to a different incredible Jewish nonprofit.
That's pretty cool.
God, it's been it's pretty successful so far.
Wow. And so you mentioned you called your website guy, but other than that, I see that you've consulted with Rabbanim over this, and it's more than just a one-call operation. So how exactly did you get it started?
So I listen to a lot of Shiurim on Torah Anytime, and Rabbi Pesach Kron is one of the people I always listen to. And I don't know if you know, Rabbi Kron is the voice of Torah Anytime. So before, there's like, I don't know how many tens of thousands of Shiurim on Torah Anytime, but every single one, you have Rabbi Pesach Kron's voice saying, you know, so he's such a big fan of Torah Time. He used to talk about it. And I was like, wow, if I get Rabbi Pesach Kron to talk about Daily Giving, the way he talks about Torah Anytime, I'm going to blow this thing up. So I got Rabbi Kron's number and I just called him up out of the blue, which is like just an amazing thing that you can call someone as famous and as prominent a rabbi as Rabbi Pesach Kron. And I remember my heart being very, very fast as he picked up the phone. I was so nervous and I explained to him, you know, that I had this idea and he liked the idea and he's like, no one's doing it. I said, Rebbe, no one's doing it. So he said, okay, we have to get a rabbinical council together so that people can trust that we're really doing what we say we're doing. I said, I think that's a great idea. So thank God we have a very, very prestigious rabbinical council. Rabbi Herschel Schechter is on our council and Rabbi Kron and Rabbi Shmuel Greenberg from White Plains, who's my shul rav, and Rabbi Moshe Tuvili from Brooklyn. So it's a really nice mix of kind of different from rabbanim from different backgrounds, and every charity we give to is approved by all those rabbis.
That's really cool. And how did you publicize it when you finally put it all together?
We tried a lot of different things, and I'm not going to tell you it was easy. It's still not easy. I think that I was telling someone earlier today, I think that God made it hard for us to give charity. I think he made it like literally like an extra thing, layer of difficulty for humans. We work very hard for our money. And, you know, I think we are somewhat, Jews, I think, are more philanthropic in general, but it's still tough. Like it's tough, even though it's a dollar a day and everyone seems to love the idea of daily giving. And that, you know, obviously you can have so much more meaning, so much more impact when you give together. What's a dollar alone? But when you give it together, like we're having serious impact. We're about to hit $4 million a year we're giving out.
Wow.
So today we hit $10,800 a day and it goes up every day. So we're really, thank God, doing a lot of good things, but people think they hear about it. They're like, wow, this is amazing. And they just simply forget to sign up. I had someone sign up on Tisha B'Av for $5 a day. Which is not uncommon. Most people sign up for a dollar a day, but a lot of people sign up for their whole families. It's a wonderful way to teach your children about tzedakah because you can't tell your kids about the big checks you're writing, but you could absolutely tell them about, you know, that you're giving a dollar a day. And one of the great things about Daily Giving is we send this amazing email every day that tells you where your money's going and a little bit blurb about the charity we're giving to that day. And people really, really enjoy it. And we get a lot of great feedback about this email. And so my kids get the email and other people who sign up, their kids get their email. It's just a wonderful way to teach young people about charity. So this gentleman signs up the other day on Tisha B'Av for $5 a day. And I had seen him. I had spoken at a Yachad dinner maybe 6 to 8 months ago. And I saw him then. I told him about it. And so I asked him, just curious, why did you sign up now? And he said, I just forgot. My wife and I, the night you spoke at the Yachad dinner, we loved it. We were like, oh, this is a no-brainer. This is so, so great. But we just forgot. And then Project Inspire on Tisha B'Av, they have a really great video. Every Tisha B'Av, they do a new like original movie, and so they put one of our videos as like the trailer to their movie, and over 200 people signed up from that in one day. So
wow,
on Tisha
that's
B'Av,
really good.
so it was incredible. So this gentleman said, like, I just forgot it when I was watching the Project Inspire video. I saw your video, and my wife's like, hey, did you do it? And I was like, no, I forgot. And so he signed up. So, and then he said to me, why do you have 10,000 and not 100,000? You know, this is such a no brainer. And I said, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. It just, everyone loves being a part of it. I think just people, if they don't, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to do that. It's like a no brainer. But if they don't take the opportunity to do it right then and there, they just forget.
Huh. And what's like an unexpected thing that Aroa came up along the journey that kind of caught you off guard?
I've met a lot of really, really great people as a result of daily giving, like a lot of really special people. I'm a physician. I was not looking to start a nonprofit. I had no idea I'd ever be involved in a nonprofit. So I didn't know any of this was going to happen, but, you know, I work really hard at it. You know, I don't get paid anything for daily giving. I just do it because I love it, and I want to bring it to the world and get more and more people. But if I think, I really truly believe if you do right, and if you're trying to do the right thing, you're doing good work, you know, Hashem reward you, you know, maybe sometimes partially here in this world and hopefully in the next. And so I've been very fortunate to see some real bracha come my way, and been fortunate to meet a lot of really special people, and my life's been enriched by it.
And I heard you mention in an interview a number of months ago that over 250 organizations had reached out to you asking to be included in your tzedakah, and that it was so many for you, and you had to filter through. How do you figure out who makes the cut and who doesn't?
It's really difficult. It's probably the most challenging thing. Thank God I'm not the only one. I have a whole team. I have a board. I have a rabbinical council. And so it's very difficult. Unfortunately, there's a huge, huge amount of need in our community. That number has ballooned from over 250 to over 500 requests this year to get on daily giving. And we take it very, very seriously. We look at it as we vet these organizations very carefully. We try to put our shoes in our over 10,000 daily givers of who they would want to give to. We like to call it a diversified portfolio of charities we give. So we give to emergency situations, and we give to poverty, and we give to cancer, and we give to substance abuse, and we give to mental health, and we give to domestic violence, and we give to Torah, and we give to Kiruv. And it's like a really nice blend of different needs and different types of organizations. So we're always looking for like different things that maybe might be something that we're not giving to, or something just, you know, whatever, maybe a slightly different wrinkle, or again, unfortunately there's such a need. So like, you know, we're obviously going to add, you know, different poverty organizations and different, you know, different things. There's just no shortage of need, unfortunately, Kiva. So, but it's challenging because as you can imagine, like Jews don't take no for an answer so lightly. So like, they ask and they want it and they like, they try and like, look, we're doing the best we can. You know, we have a team of, you know, a lot, many volunteers, and there are a couple of people that we pay, the people we pay our staff, you know, we only have one full-time person, but 100 cents of every dollar goes to the tzedakah. So when people sign up for a dollar a day, all hundreds, you know, they pay for the credit card fee. So literally 100 cents of that dollar goes to charity. And so for the other costs, again, we're giving out almost $4 million a year. Let me tell you, it's a little bit more complicated of a situation of an organization that people think it is. And we also want to grow it, and we want to get new people. That means marketing. That means social media. It means there's inherently costs. So we raise our budget for those things separately. So if, you know, if someone, you know, we did a big concert, a couple months ago, it was a woman's concert in Israel, and it was, you know, it was an amazing production, and again, so many people did it for free. Did a lot of things. We got, you know, we did it for, let's say, a bare budget. It looked amazing, and people thought it looked like a $250,000 production, and we did it for really a complete fraction of that because we had just incredible people that were partners that wanted to give it to us for so cheap. But it's still, even that, like people, like every penny was raised separately to pay for it. Nothing came from our dollars a day.
Wow. And you mentioned the concert that you did and all the rabbinical council and everything else. There's clearly a lot going on behind this. How long does it take you? Do you spend a lot of time on this on the weekly?
Yes, I do. I spend a lot of time on it. you know, I mean, between every single patient, I'm in my office, you know, answering emails or, you know, doing something or setting up meetings. I had a meeting this morning in Manhattan with a potential partner for daily giving. And yeah, it's a lot, but it's something I love. It's something I am certainly very passionate about. I believe that, you know, I truly believe that what could Hashem want more than his children coming together to give to their brothers and sisters who are less fortunate. And thank God that the feedback is so wonderful from all the givers. Everyone just loves being a part of it, that it just, you know, all the people involved, we just love helping it grow and getting it to new heights. And, you know, we're not satisfied at 10,800. We want to be at 18,000 and 25,000 and 36,000. And hopefully, please God, over 100,000 a day. You know, if 1% of all Jews gave a dollar a day, which we think is so completely achievable, if 1% of Jews gave a dollar a day, it would be over $52 million a year. And
that's amazing.
And Akiva, that's found money. Meaning, like, no one's stopping. No one's not going to not give to Camp Haas $1,000 or $10,000 check because they're giving a dollar a day to daily giving, right? No one's. So every, I mean, I'll say almost, because I'm sure there are some people that, you know, one of the nice things, we're getting college kids to give who don't make money. And last Monday night, I went up to Camp Haas and I spoke to a room of 400 Camp Haas counselors. And you know, they're not making money yet, and only a handful of them signed up, but they're all going to make money in a couple of years. These people are going to be super successful, and I know they will. And so it's just, these are the future leaders. So it's important to learn to give. And so I think that, what, you know, two of the nice things we're doing are, one, it's found, like I said, it's found money. So like the $4 million we're giving a year is not instead of anything. It's in addition to all the money that's being given. And another thing is, I think, you know, now that I'm in this world of philanthropy and talking to a lot of people in this world, is that, you know, a big concern is that young people just aren't giving like the previous generations. And so I think that's something we're onto with, you know, young people get crowdfunding. They get the power of crowdfunding. Young people like that we give to almost 60 different organizations. They like the diversity. They like to see their dollar being stretched. So I think that, you know, we're onto something, and it's resonating. And, you know, whether we get to $100,000 in a year or in 5 years or 10 years, I don't know. But, you know, listen, hopefully, you know, your podcast is going to go so viral that, you know, like, we're going to get to a couple thousand tomorrow, you know, Akiva. So.
Yeah, we'll see. I know the first time I reached out to you, you hadn't done the concert yet. And I understood the organization like had some events online or other places, and it was mainly just giving a dollar. But now you've seemed to have grown it. I've heard you get shout outs on other podcasts that they support you, and you've done the big concert. What things are you expecting to do in the next 3 to 5 years in addition to the daily dollar that we can look forward to?
That's an interesting question. I think that without, you know, putting my foot in my mouth, you know, I think that we are looking into starting a sub branch in Israel. So like Daily Giving Israel.
Interesting.
You know, that because as much as we try, we have not yet figured out a way to get tax deduction status in Israel. It's complicated because all our organizations, even though we give like half of our organizations are in Israel, they're all American friends of. So, you know, we have tons of givers from Israel. I'd say, you know, I'd be surprised if now, like, we're like probably over a thousand givers from Israel. So people still give, but I truly believe we'd get a lot more if there was that tax deduction status in Israel, which we don't have yet. So we've been talking about potentially making another branch of daily giving, like just for Israel, meaning we don't give to American organizations, we just give to Israeli organizations, and we do a shekel a day instead of a dollar. These are the things we're talking about, because, you know, for an Israeli, a dollar, you know, $31 a month is, you know, that's over 100 shekel. And, you know, for most Israelis, that might be too much. So yeah, we want to, it's more about getting more people than the amount, you know. So that's our vision. If someone said tomorrow, hey, I'll give you $1 million, $1 million a day, and then we go from giving 10,800 to 1,010,800, I would rather put that $1 million to help me promote and get more people to give than to actually give the dollar a day, because it's to me, it's the, my favorite part about daily giving is the achdus, the unity that we're creating, you know, that, that we have over 10,000 Jews from 34 countries of all backgrounds. You know, I see people sign up from Oklahoma and from Peru and from Belgium and from Honduras and from, you know, and from all parts of the country. Like, and it's just amazing to see where they heard about us and who their donation is in honor of. Like, it's incredible to see all the different things and the nice messages that people give and who they want their money to be in honor of. And so these are things not everyone gets to see, but from the back end, it's just the unity that we're creating is just amazing, and I'm really proud of that.
That's really special. And I'm curious on a more personal side of it. You know, when I started the podcast in the beginning, if somebody told me that they had listened to an episode, it was super exciting. And I'd tell my friends, like, oh, he listened, or this person listened. And then now, like, I'll still get very excited, but I might not tell all my friends, oh, this person said they watch it, because the podcast has grown. So I'm curious for you, was there immense excitement when you got those first dollars coming in the beginning? And do you still get that now? Or is it kind of just like, oh, great, another person realized that, like, they should be giving a dollar a day?
I love that question. It doesn't get old. Honestly, it's set up where every new giver, I get an email. It comes almost instantly. So, like, a couple of weeks ago, even before I spoke at Camp Pass, I was a Camp Pass counselor. And so I went on Camp Experience Day a couple of weeks ago, and I got, you know, like 30 people signed. I just went and talked about just randomly talking to strangers. I just talk about daily giving. You know, I know that I'm doing them a favor. I'm bringing this opportunity to them. They are going to love being a part of it. If they say no, then that's cool. I'll move on to the next person. But, you know, about 30 people signed up that day. And, so when they sign up, like, I get that instant email into my, you know, box, a new giver. And I'm telling you, like, it never gets old. Like, it never gets old. Like, on Tisha B'Av just a few days ago, over 300 people signed up for daily giving that day. Which is got to be a top 10 day we've ever had. And it was for a number of reasons. We got featured. Mishpacha Magazine did an article about us this past weekend, and Project Inspire, I think I said, you know, ran our video, and a lot of people saw it. And it was incredible. I felt guilty. Like, I was smiling from ear to ear all Tisha B'Av. It was like, but I know that this is what's going to cause us not to have Tisha B'Av next year, is all these people coming together and giving a dollar a day together. So, yeah, so to answer your question, it never gets old. I remember the first day. I remember going out that night. My parents were in town. I'm from Minnesota. They were visiting, and I remember going out to a restaurant in Muncie that night. And I remember getting people signing up that day, and it being like, I was like overjoyed. And it still it never gets old as more people join.
That's really really cool. And I guess about you, you mentioned you're a doctor. And you have a book on chiropractic and other things. What's that book like?
Okay, yeah, the book is called The Neck and Back Pain Solution: Everything You Need to Know About Non-Surgical Spinal Decompression Therapy. That's a mouthful, I know, but it's there's a colon in there. So it's really called The Neck and Back Pain Solution. And you know, thank God, I it's interesting. Before daily giving, I really thought my tafkid, my purpose was to get people out of pain. I think that Hashem blessed me with certain skills, and I'm good at getting people out of pain, neck pain, back pain, headaches, and various other, you know, ailments. And so my niche specialty is a technique called non-surgical spinal decompression therapy. And I treat very, very severe herniated discs in the neck and back. And a lot of my patients have tried chiropractic, physical therapy, acupuncture, massage, been to medicine, shots, even some of them even had failed back surgery, which is common. And thank God we're able to still help a very, very, very high percentage of them with this technique. It's obviously a non-surgical technique, as you hear in the name. And it's a machine that creates this very, very soft vacuum effect that sucks herniated discs back in. I don't want to get too technical. I don't know your listeners are so interested, but if they're interested, they could certainly Google it, Google me, they'll find more about it. But it works really, really well. And it's such a bracha. I have grown men cry in my office every day, you know, and I see just suffering, you know, human suffering and pain. And it's wonderful to help these people. I love my job. I love helping people get out of pain. And it's also a massive opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. You know, I'd say 90% of my patients are not Jewish. Probably 99% are not Orthodox. I love that. My patients, I love being asked questions about my religion, because, like, I wear it on my sleeve. I have a mezuzah on every door in my big office. And there's a mezuzah on every day. Ask, what's that? You know, what's that thing on your head? You know, that common question, you know, can I ask you something personal? Like, is it true that kosher means, you know, the rabbi blesses the food? So, you know, the same questions, you know, we all get. But I've had lots of patients tell me they chose me because I'm a Jewish doctor. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to help people. And if I'm the only person they ever met who's an Orthodox Jew, then I'm certainly going to put my best foot forward to make them have an amazing experience and make a Kiddush Hashem. So that's what they if they're going to associate Judaism with me, then you better believe I take that very seriously.
That's very nice. And I see from your background, you have a soccer ball and a basketball. And you mentioned that you've had soccer players and other people come through your office. And you mentioned both in terms of just the general clients, but also it sounds like you've had big name clients. What's that like? And is that more pressuring than the daily person?
You know, it used to be, I think, I mean, and you know, in all honesty, right, like when a professional athlete comes, I'm a huge sports fan. I became a chiropractor because I was going to treat athletes. It was either going to be an orthopedic surgeon or a chiropractor. And I called my first cousin, Shlomo, who's an allergist, and he's 10 years older than I am. And he's like, Jonathan, if it's not your goal in life to be a medical doctor, don't do it. Now he's very, very happy now. But at the time he was going through, you know, his residency and his fellowship, and it was just years and years and years. And I knew I wanted to treat athletes. It was really one of those two. And so chiropractic is 4 years after college, and, you know, orthopedic surgery is 12 years after college. And so, but that was my goal. And thank God I got there, and I treat a lot of professional athletes. And like I said, it's still exciting. I just treated someone on this past Friday. I came in, I treat the Major League Soccer team, the New York City Football Club. And they just won the Major League Soccer. They just won the cup, the world champion. So that was really exciting. So, you know, treating these elite athletes is really great, and it's fun. I don't get nervous anymore, but I used to get very excited when a New York Ranger player came in or someone else. And but frankly, I'm more nervous. Like I'm blessed to treat a lot of very famous Rabbanim, and when they come, I'm probably more awestruck and feel more pressure to deliver to them than the athletes. But it's great. It's fun. I try to treat everyone the same, whether you're, you know, a 25-year-old professional athlete or a 90-year-old, you know, bubby. I treat everyone the same.
Wow. And, you know, it sounds like you're doing so much in the medical field with the book and your patients and for daily giving. And I think you mentioned you have a family. How do you find time for all this?
I have a very, very, very phenomenal wife. She's my partner, you know, so she understands what I'm doing. And, that being said, you know, it's difficult. It's not unusual that I get home past midnight multiple times a week, because when I'm done seeing patients at 7:30, 8 o'clock, I have to call certain patients back and check on them. And I have to do my notes, and I have to do, you know, other responsibilities for having my practice. And then there's only so many hours you can call someone before it's 10, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Like, I can't call them. So then I'm making phone calls, and then I got to go back and do my notes for the, you know, for the office. And it's a difficult balance. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, like I said, I have a very understanding wife who's my partner, and she's proud of me, and she lets me, let's put it honest. She lets me, do these things. And thank God I have, you know, different volunteers and different people who work for daily giving that help. And it's not me. Like I might be the face of daily giving, for better or for worse. And I think I get too much credit, again, for better. It's like the quarterback, right? You get quarterbacks and get all the credit and all the, yeah. You know, I get too much credit because, you know, I have very humble people behind me. They don't want to be mentioned. I have a board of people, you know, don't want to be mentioned. I have a whole team that they don't want to be mentioned, you know? So I'm the one that goes on podcasts and gets articles written about him. And, you know, I'm not looking for the attention. I just want to help daily giving grow. And so probably every time I'm on a podcast or I'm in an article, some of my scar gets lost, you know, because I'm the one getting the credit. But that's not my intention. My intention is just to get the word out there, because I know that everyone who's a part of daily giving loves it. We just need to get the whole rest of the world on board.
Well, that's very nice. And I guess we'll wrap it up with two more questions. One of them is there a story or an email you've received that sticks out relating to daily giving?
Off the top of my head, I'll just go with the first two that come to my mind. One was this woman who said that during COVID, she couldn't visit her father who was ailing, but she would have, I don't remember if it was like Zoom calls or phone calls every day. And she would read him, you know, she was giving a dollar, either he was giving a dollar, I don't remember exactly, he was giving a dollar a day and she was, or she was giving it, but she would read him the daily emails and talk about, and that was like something they would look forward to talking about every day. And I really, really like to hear that. That was a heartwarming one. Another one, a certain, I don't know this gentleman, but a rabbi in Cleveland emailed me and he said, daily giving is my, let me get this right. What he said, you're my Olam Haba investment portfolio manager.
Wow. That's really nice.
And I was like, that was like the highest compliment I felt like I ever got or could get. And we like, you know, obviously you got, to, we take it very seriously, but you see someone understands that. And, that is very special. We take it very seriously what we're doing, and we want to make we're handling a lot of tzedakah, and we're doing the best we can for the cloth.
That's really nice. And before we ask the last question, I'm curious, and I assume the listeners are also curious. Do you want to say how people could sign up to give a dollar or more every day?
Thank you for asking. It's very, very simple. It's just dailygiving.org, www.dailygiving.org, and you just hit the blue button that says "Become a Giver." And it's there's a couple options, you know, $1 a day, $2 a day, you know, $5 a day, or there's even a custom option if you have, you know, 12 kids, you want to sign up for 12 people, you can do that. And there's a monthly option and annual options. It's just like, I guess I'll explain real quick to your listeners.
Sure.
That we can't hit your credit card every day. The transaction fee would be like 30 cents off of your dollar. So what the rabbis told us to do is we have a monthly option and annual option. Now we give out the money every day. We're your shaliach, we're the messenger. So every day when you get the email, the money's going out on a daily basis, but you sign up for either $31 a month or $365 a year. And, you know, also we wouldn't want to clog your credit card box with every single day another charge for a dollar. So it works out for a lot of different ways. You know, you charge monthly or annually, and it works really, really, really well. And it's a subscription. People can sign up for, you know, they can stop whenever they want. They can give emails and say, hey, whatever, you know, most people don't stop, but once in a while, unfortunately, someone loses their job and says, you know, I love what you're doing, but I need to pause for a couple months or whatever else. I'm like, well, of course, you know.
It makes sense. And very nice. Everyone could go sign up. And I'll also put the link in the podcast description. And we'll close with the last question, which is the same for every episode, which is you mentioned the article in Mishpacha. And I know you've been on other episodes and been had articles done from other forums. And you mentioned you even get asked questions from your patients. But even though you're being asked so many questions all the time, there's always questions people are never asked that they wish they were. So looking back at all the questions you've been asked, what's a question you've never been asked that you wished you were, and what answer would you give to it?
Wow. I don't remember if I've been asked this question or not. I guess it's possible I have. I certainly have discussed this with, like, you know, I guess maybe it's because I had this conversation with my brother. My brother's a shul rabbi in Fairlawn. Shout out to Rabbi Jeremy Doneth. So I just had this conversation with him today. So I guess we'll go with that. It's fresh in my mind. I feel like sometimes I ask myself why, so no one's asked me, but I've asked myself, like, what did I do to deserve this, you know, me having this thought in my mind and, you know, starting this organization and it, you know, raising $4 million of charity and hopefully one day $100 million a year in charity, right? And I thought, well, what did I do to deserve? And I'm fairly convinced it has nothing to do with me. I'm 100% convinced it's not me. You know, I come from a family of, all four of my grandparents are Holocaust survivors. And they're all very, very special. And I think that, you know, the suffering that they endured and the fact that all eight of my great grandparents were killed in the Holocaust and all my, you know, most of my great aunts and uncles were, you know, were a lot of, or, you know, great, great aunts and uncles were killed. My Zadie, my mother's father, you know, was a particularly special person. Just to give you an idea, like, what he died when he was 93, but when what would have been his 100th birthday, they had a memorial for him. And I think like hundreds of people showed up. Like, again, this is 7 years after he died. He was the shamus. He was like the spiritual leader of a shul in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And he brought in so many Jews to become religious, and he did it only like by action. It was just like he was the warmest person. And even in the war, you know, there's all sorts of crazy stories of how he saved lives and how, you know, one time he was about to be killed, and like literally the whole community like basically scared the soldier that was going to kill him. Because the guy stopped because he was worried for his own life. Wow. And he had hurt my grandfather. So I've heard, I mean, there are people that said that my grandfather was was a Lamed Vavnik, you know. So I think that, look, that whole generation suffered a lot, and I'm fairly certain that there is nothing to do with me, the success of daily giving, but the schus I have is from my grandparents, and particularly my Zadie.
Wow, that's really nice. Thank you again for coming on. Everybody remember www.dailygiving.org to sign up, and thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Akiva. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this past episode of the Jewish Schmooze podcast. To get our latest updates and contact us, you can follow us on Twitter at Jews_Schmooze. If you want to sponsor an upcoming episode, you can reach out to JewsSchmoozeMarketing@gmail.com. And if you give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening on, that would be tremendously appreciated. Thank you so much, and hope you're looking forward to the next episode also.